to the pastor to make sure that, Lord, I didn't know the heart of, he knows what God's been doing and dealing, and wanted to make sure he didn't want to just take time to, but the altar, I know enough to know the altar's always open and available, and if there's anything on your heart you need to settle, you sure don't need to wait. Brother Allen mentioned a while ago, you sure don't need to wait till I'm done, and I hope you'll get help. It is an honor to be back. I appreciate this meeting. I appreciate the joy through the years of getting to be in attendance. It's a haul to get here. I told the preacher a while ago, you got to make up your mind by 3 o'clock if you're going that way or not. Sometimes it's hard to do that early of the day. But I want to thank all of you that sent us a card. I know all of you have prayed, and some of you took time to write down a prayer and a kindness in a card and sent it our way. That's unique. I've never had that anywhere else. That's unique what you do, and I'm grateful for it. It's a blessing. I went down today and went back over them before I headed out this way, and just thank the Lord. Appreciate the good meal. Appreciate the pastor. We don't see each other but once or twice a year, but it's been a blessing to get to know Brother Justin, and we are grateful. And glad to hear the good report of yesterday. Invite you to look tonight. Jeremiah chapter 32. I will not read all the text at this time that applies. I'll just read enough to, so I've got license and say I did read a text. And then we'll go back and look at it, okay? Jeremiah 32, verse number 6. And I will read verse number 6 through verse number 9 at this time. And we'll refer to various verses in the chapter. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 6. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anatoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anatoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. Father, we bless you and we thank you tonight for being in this place. We thank you, God, for this people. Lord, their labors and their faithfulness, God. We thank you, God, that churches can come together and labor together and sing together and encourage one another as these two churches do year after year. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for your word. Now speak to our hearts, God, and challenge us. God, here in this Jubilee meeting, God, I pray, Father, Lord, we'd all determine to leave here, God, Lord, that we would be buyers in the work of the Lord and not sellers. In Jesus' name, amen. I will do this tonight. I will take a few minutes and speak and give you an education about this passage. Then I'll take even less time and give you an application. And then I will extend to you an invitation. And I hope that it'll end in supplication. Look at this text. Jeremiah has been told to buy a piece of land. Doesn't sound like anything much, does it? Well, if you start to understand where Jeremiah was and what was going on, it makes his purchase of land even, it begins to gain in appreciation. Jeremiah is living in Jerusalem. Jeremiah is preaching and prophesying to his people and to his king that your days are done. You're about to go into captivity. Amen. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. And there's not going to be left anything here worth having for a while. God's going to call in all the judgment he's told you about, and you're going to be carried away captive, and you're going to spend 70 years in Babylon. Amen. Now, how would you like to buy a piece of land? But not only that, Jeremiah is in prison in the king's house. I mean, he's not in prison somewhere at some country club environment. He's at the king's house. I mean, the king can check on him every day, make sure that things are going against Jeremiah. Why is Jeremiah in trouble with the king? Because he prophesied to the king. And look at the beginning of the chapter. And notice what happened at the beginning. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it." The king said, "Who do you think you are, going around telling everybody that I'm going to be defeated, I'm going to be destroyed? Don't you know better than that? I'll put you in jail." So Jeremiah's in jail. The mounts, we'll see later on, the actual ramps that the Chaldeans have made up against the walls of the city so they can invade the city are already in place. He said, look at the mounts, and he prays later on in the chapter. He prays, Lord, the mounts, the ramps are already in place. Be a good time, you would think, to be selling land, wouldn't it? But God gives Jeremiah a command to buy land. Why? Why? Think about why. Think about this in your life. You're in bondage. The city, the country, your livelihood, everything you know is about to be destroyed. The king has put you in jail because you've stood on what God has said. And you would think it would be a time to be selling. Who needs land if you're going to be hauled off of it? Who needs land if everything's going to be destroyed? You would think it'd be a time to sell land. But Hananiah thought it was a time to sell land. He said, "I've got a piece of land, cuz. How about you buying?" But God had already spoke to Jeremiah. And God said, "Your cousin's going to offer you a piece of land, and I want you to buy it." And why in the world? Look a little further. So Jeremiah buys the land. He makes the investment. Then look, if you will, back where we finished off reading in verse 10. And so Jeremiah not only bought the land, but he made the evidence of it. The Bible said in verse 11, he took the evidence, both that was sealed according to the law and that which was open. Hey, there was hidden evidence, and there was public evidence, and there was private evidence of what he had done. I'll come back to that, okay? I just want to say to you, some things we do for the Lord are visible. Yes, and some things we do for the Lord, they're between us and the Lord. Amen? Yes, amen. But obedience is still obedience, whether it's private or whether it's public. Go a little further with me. Verse 12, he gave the evidence unto Barak, the son of Nera, and the Bible said that he put it in a book. And then he said in verse 14, thus saith the Lord of hosts, take these evidence, the evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. God wants the evidence of what's been done to last for a while. Watch verse 15. Verse 15 is the key. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be purchased again in this land.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Why are you buying land now? Because God wants me to buy it now as a testimony that I believe God is going to do what He said He's going to do. And what He said He was going to do was that there would be houses built, lands would be bought, and vineyards would be purchased again in this place.
Amen.
I'm just giving you education. I'll preach just here in a moment. All right, let's go a little further. And so he does what God told him to do. And then look, but then Jeremiah still, he's human. He's like us. Look at what he said in verse 16. Then when I delivered the evidence of the purchase, I prayed unto the Lord, saying. How many of you prayed to God telling him what God already, telling the Lord what he already knew? Everything you've ever prayed, the Lord already knew. Verse 17, look at what he says. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I'll skip through the prayer and look in verse 24. Verse 24, behold the mounts, they are come to the city to take it. The city is given to the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And then he said in verse number 25, and he said, God, you told me to buy a field for money and take witnesses and into the hand. And then look, and then he said in verse 27, let me read that verse again. And thou said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Notice what Jeremiah had said. Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for thee. But then God turned around and said, is there anything too hard for me? Aren't you glad there's nothing that's too hard for God today? Now, just quickly, and I'll jump into the end of the chapter. Verse 43. And fields shall be bought in this land. I'm sorry, I'm skipping verse 42. Can't do that. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good. Watch this. Somebody said, God don't make promises. All the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof you say it's desolate, without man or beast. It's given to the hand of the enemy. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidence and seal them and take witness. I'll leave off reading there. All right, that's my education. Now, for just a minute, can I make an application? And could I preach to you for just a few minutes? Are you buying or selling? Are you buying or selling tonight? When it comes to your Christian life, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the work of the Lord, when it comes to your role around the house of God, are you buying or are you selling? You say, preacher, you don't understand what's going on in my life. There's a lot going on. It's not a good time to buy. It was not a good time for Jeremiah to buy. But Jeremiah wasn't buying based on what he was going to do. He was buying based on what the Lord was going to do. Aren't you thrilled today? Hey, don't do based on what you can do. Do based on what God said He's going to do. Are you buying or selling tonight? When it comes to assets, when it comes to investments tonight, how are you doing? Are you investing in spiritual things? Or are you divesting? Personally. But you don't understand. I've got it rough. I suspect you don't have it as rough as Jeremiah had it. Amen. I suspect you're not in jail. I suspect your city's not about to be conquered. Your people to not be carried away captive into bondage. But God said to Jeremiah, I want you to buy this piece of land. That was going to take money. Amen. That's going to take his assets. That was going to take his possession. You know what? When you get to a foreign country, you can still spend money. You get to a foreign country, it's hard to spend land. It's hard to dig up some dirt and take it where you say, let me trade this for something when I get there. But God said, I want you to buy the land. I got a simple, the brother asked me the title. I said, by the time I get done preaching tonight, you'll be tired of the title. Are you buying or selling? That's all I want to ask you tonight. When it comes to the work, this place, when it comes to the work of Floyd Road, are you buying or selling? Jeremiah was in a situation when you thought the last person on of all the people in their family tree, you would think the last person to have a meal would go to and say, I've got a piece of land I'd like to sell. Would you buy it? Here's a man who's never going to get to go see that land. Amen. How many of you known people that sat in these pews? Brother Allen, no doubt I know you do. And they labored for God. And they made statements like this. They said, I may never get to see it, but it's what God's put on my heart to do. I may never get to see it, but it's what God has put on my heart to do. How many of you have done that in your life? You said it don't make sense. It don't make sense to quit this job. It don't make sense to take this position. It don't make sense to go to that church. It don't make sense. I'm the last person that anybody would ever think would do that. But God has put it on my heart to buy that piece of land. Why? I believe he bought it based on one thing. The Lord wanted a witness that somebody believed God was going to do what he said he's going to do. God said, look, I'm not done with this place. I'm not done with this place. God was not done with his people. They were the apple of his eye. God was not done with Jerusalem. Oh my goodness, read Psalm 87 sometime. And God said, I'm going to make a record of everybody that was born here. He thought so much of Jerusalem. God said, I've got a special page. If you were born in Jerusalem, your name's going in this book. That's how much he loved Jerusalem. And look at your Bible in chapter 32, verse 41. God was not done loving this people. God said, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I'll plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and my whole soul. When have you ever found God talking about his whole heart and his whole soul? But he talked about that when he talked about Israel. That's how much he loved those people. He said, I'm not done with them. And I'm not done with my promises. I'm going to keep the promises I made.
Amen.
And so Jeremiah, before my people go off to captivity, I want you to buy that land. And I want you to get the title to it. And I want you to put it in the book they keep down at the city gate. And then the other part, the other tithe, the copy of it, I want you to put it in an earthen vessel, stick it in a cave somewhere, that it'll last, it won't rot, it won't get a mildew, it'll be there as a witness. I'm just asking you tonight, it's a simple message. It's not any deeper than what you've already seen. Are you buying or selling?
Amen.
When it comes to this choir, when it comes to that choir, are you buying or selling? How about it tonight? How is the choir as full as it used to be? Or some we've decided, well, we're just going to liquidate a little bit. We're not going to back up on God. We're just not going to invest as much as we used to. How about these Sunday school classrooms I walk up and down? Is it all right to still call it Sunday school? Whatever you call it, when you meet and study the Word of God, are they as full as they used to be? Are you buying or selling when it comes to Sunday school? Are you buying or selling when it comes to the midweek service? Are you buying or selling when it comes to prayer for your brethren? Are you buying or selling when it comes to falling in this altar and seeking God's help for your pastor and for his family and for direction? Are we buying or are we selling? It'd been easy for Jeremiah to say, God, you don't understand. I'm in prison. And the people that are going to conquer our city have already got the dirt piled up against the wall. We not long for this place, Lord. I don't need no land. What need do I have of land? God said, it's not about your need for land.
Right.
It's about my witness.
Yes,
I'm not done with this place.
Amen.
I want it on record that somebody in the last day, the last month, the last year, the last king, whatever it was, before they left town and turned the lights out, somebody believed God was not done working among his people. Somebody believed God was not done working in that place. Somebody believed God was not done keeping those promises. Jeremiah said, I'll buy it.
Amen.
I'll buy it. Don't you imagine Hananiah said, you will? Oh, thank you, cuz. I appreciate you buying that. Can't you imagine? I mean, why would you want land that you're fixing to be drug off of? It wasn't about the value of the land.
That's right.
It was about the value of his Lord.
Yes,
and God said, do this. It may not make sense. It'll cost you assets. It'll cost you part of what you have. But it's what I ask you to do for my glory and my testimony. And Jeremiah said, I bought the land. I weighed out the money. And I suggest to you tonight, in 2020, it's still a good time to be a buyer and not a seller. In our spiritual life, away from this place, are you storing things or shredding them? I thought about, as I've been blessed, preacher, and this is just because they're too lazy to hunt another one. But come Sunday, I've pastored for 30 years at New Canaan. And I'm thrilled with the privilege of every day of every one of those years. But I've watched a generation of folk. And I watch folks and their spiritual possessions, if you can understand that. But David, it'd take a U-Haul. Things that were important to them. Things that were precious to them. I'm talking about testimonies, prayers answered, a service they rendered to God. Times they were involved in meetings like you're having here. Things like that that were treasures to them. Things like that that meant something. Things like that they could build and look back and see God's hand in their life. It'd take a U-Haul to haul all that with them. But I've watched over a lifetime. And I challenged our folks, Brother Keith. Now about all that stuff will fit in a shoebox. Now, we'll pay $100 a month to rent a storage locker down the road because we can't keep all the stuff at the house. And we fill it up with records and old, I call them MLK jeans. You know them blue jeans you got a dream one day you're going to get back into. But, honey, they ain't going to happen. And old T-shirts from a rock concert that you wouldn't even admit you went to. And we'll pay money to store that stuff in a facility somewhere because we ain't even got room for it. But our spiritual possessions, our spiritual treasures, they'll about fit in the shoebox now. And I'm convinced in a few more years, you'll be able to put them in a matchbox and put them in your pocket. I'm asking you, are you buying or are you selling when it comes to the things of God? Jeremiah was in a place where he could have even said, Lord, I hadn't thought about buying no land, just to be honest with you. Notice what he said as he prayed down at the end. He said, Lord, you told me to buy it, and I bought it. He just kind of like, Lord, do you remember? You told me to buy it, and I don't really, but I did buy it. Everyone said, God, you told me to quit that job. And I did quit it.
Yes,
God just come by and remind you, it's all right. He knows where you are. He hadn't forgot his promises.
Praise God. Amen.
I want to say to you today, when it comes to the things of God, it's still a buyer's market.
Amen.
You might not figure out the stock market. If you do, let me know. But I'm going to tell you, it's always a buyer's market when it comes to the things of God. It's always right to invest in the house of God and the work of God. It's always right. It don't matter what's going on in you. And you look and say, I'm in prison. I'll never see that land. That's all right. God don't need you to see it. He's got a record tonight. I get to tell you about it. Aren't you thrilled to think about God's got a purpose bigger than you and I?
Yes,
we just need to be obedient unto the Lord. I thought about, are you accumulating or liquidating? Investing or divesting? When it comes to spiritual things, are you in the acquisitions department? Are you working in the divestitures department? I'm just seeing a lot of folks through a lifetime. I've seen a lot of traditions and a lot of things that you used to count on, and now you just wonder. I just ask you this. I don't know this area. If I get off that road that runs that way and the other one that'll carry me all the way back to the interstate, I'm as lost as a ball in tall weeds. But I'm here to tell you, even out here, I'm sure I don't have to go far to find empty church buildings all up and down the side of the road. Turning them into this, turning them into that, turning them into everything. Thank God somebody said, it's still worth buying. We're not selling, we're still buying. We're still looking for what God will do. I just bless the name of the Lord tonight for His goodness and His mercy and His grace. And I'm glad He does save. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes He may ask you to do something that just don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. How many of you just said, Lord, I'll do that. It's just not a good time in our life right now. Hey, there's a mother in here tonight. I don't know where she's at. Somewhere around here. I sat in the dining room. And matter of fact, I waited in line to get some cake with her. And she's got four youngins. And she's got them to the house of God. Well, I'll tell you what, that's somebody who's buying and not selling.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's somebody who's buying and not selling. We live in the day where nothing's worth the effort. Everything's too much effort, too much trouble, costs too much, takes too long.
Go ahead. Right.
I thank God for some people that are buying. And I just want to encourage you.
Yes, sir.
I know folks like this in meetings like this and doing what you're doing. I know you're buyers. But look around. There might be some area of your life you thought, well, we just need to sell that. God might be saying it ain't a time to sell.
Amen.
It's a time to buy. I want you to be buyers and not sellers in the work of God tonight. How Jeremiah would never see it. Jeremiah's folks was going into captivity. The day they came back to that land, Jeremiah was not going to be a part of that. Matter of fact, Jeremiah wound up in Egypt, and I ain't figured out yet just what all went in Jeremiah's life. But he never did get to go see that land that I can find in the Word of God. But you know what? God knows exactly where that land is. And how much do you think them 17 shekels of silver are going to pay off come glory time?
Yes, sir.
How much do you, what an investment that's going to be. Can you imagine 17 shekels of silver then, what it's going to turn into when he finally stands before the Lord and receives the rewards and the honor for serving God like faithfully like God told him to do.
Amen.
I bless the name of the Lord tonight. How are you tonight? Are you buying or selling? Notice what God said. God said fields will be bought in this land. I wrote it down this way. I noticed this. God said houses and fields and vineyards. And then I thought this way. There's going to be building again. There's going to be bearing again. And there's going to be blessings again. Them vineyards speak of fruit, speak of the Spirit, speak of joy. Those fields speak of bread, speak about fields that are bearing again. And those houses, my friend, speak about building and families again. Aren't you glad God's not done with His church? He's not done with His church.
Amen.
He's not done with His people. Say, preacher, you've been up here several times. Don't you have a New Testament? I do. I really do. But Lord's just put it in my heart when I come out this way. I guess after fighting all that traffic, I just have to preach mean. I don't know. But maybe one year I'll get a hotel sometime, and maybe it'll be different. I just stay out here. But I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that Jeremiah, God used him to speak to my heart about buying and not selling. I don't know why Hammamill was selling. And I don't know why the folks that sit on your pew sold out. And I don't know why the folks that went to your church sold out. But folks will always sell out. They'll sell too soon. They'll sell too cheap. And they'll wind up selling too much. But folks will always sell out on what God has blessed and given. That land wasn't to be sold. That land was part of what God had given as an inheritance.
Amen.
It wasn't to be sold. On Jubilee year, it was going to go back to the rightful owner.
That's right.
But it wasn't to be sold. But if it was to be sold, if it was sold, it's to be kept in the family.
Yeah.
Y'all know all that from studying about Ruth. But I'm just here to tell you, our spiritual inheritances, folks are selling them. There'll be people in your family that'll sell. They'll sell. They'll tell you, you ought to just sell. You ought to quit that. Y'all to gather up your pennies and put them over here. I just want to say this to you tonight. I'm glad I've met some folks, Brother Justin, that said, I'm buying. It's a down market. It ain't a good time to buy, but I'm still going to buy. I want to ask you tonight, are you buying or are you selling? I think it's a pretty simple application to see. And I didn't dig into all the depths of it. I just tried to stay, just make it easy to see tonight. But I ask you, for your church at Floyd Road, for this church at Calvary, whatever church you might be from, whatever situation and stage in life, are you buying or selling tonight? You say, well, preacher, we're going to get through Jubilee, and then we've already talked about it. We just feel like, well, we just need to sell some things. We just need to cut back. You know, we just can't push like this. You may well need to cut back. You may well not be able to push like this all the time. But I suggest you look at your life. There's somewhere else to cut before you cut the things of God.
Amen.
Are you buying or are you selling? I think I made the note the other day in thinking about this. How do you know, preacher, are we buying? How do we know are we selling? Well, just look at your last 10 entries in your checkbook. Look at your last 10 posts on Facebook. Look at your last 10 texts or whatever it is you do on Instagram. You don't have to look around long. It ain't long to tell if you're selling or buying. It don't take long. But I wonder, as you stand tonight and the preacher comes, I just want to ask you and challenge you, in a good place to buy tonight? Oh, you're in a good place to make an investment tonight? You're in a good place to determine, God, I was going to sell this. You may have already put it on spiritual eBay or whatever all them other things are called. You may already have it listed spiritually on eBay tonight. You're going to sell. And maybe there's an issue in your life. Hey, I don't want to look up. I don't know your heart. There may be some tonight thinking about selling out on their marriage. Selling out on a relationship. Don't sell tonight. Buy. Invest. Don't cut your losses. Invest. Trust God that He's not done. Be a testimony that you believe God's going to do everything He said He's going to do for the church, for His bride, for His people, for your heart, for your life, for your soul, and just keep on buying. There's too many folks selling in the house of God tonight. I want to ask you tonight one question. Are you buying or selling? Preacher, thank you.
You've heard the word tonight. We're going to give a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you come on the very first verse.